Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Colleen Petrucci.
Yes.
General Manager of Pittsburgh Musical Theater.
Correct.
And also...
Conservatory Director.
That's a double title.
It is.
Are you living the dream?
I am living the dream. It is a beautiful dream. It really is.
How did the dream start for you?
The dream started for me at Pittsburgh Musical Theater by coming here and doing a show professionally. I actually performed in their 1996 production of Crazy for You.
Who were you?
I was Vera.
I was Bella Zangler.
Were
many
you
years
really?
Ago.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love
it. It's one of my favorite roles.
My favorite show. My
it's
favorite
great.
Show.
It's great.
Yes.
The tap, and it has all the best Gershwin.
Absolutely.
All the best. Because they would write the Gershwin shows around Gershwin songs, but this one has, I think, the best.
Well, and you know, some of the songs were found in the piano benches. They were some songs that were brought out from the piano benches. Nice Work If You Can Get It was hidden before Crazy for You.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's great.
And to have gone through the show and not known that. So
absolutely.
Pittsburgh Musical Theater is about education.
It is. It is.
And right here I'm learning something.
It is,
that's
yes.
wonderful.
Yes.
So you began as an actress then?
I did. A dancer, really.
Okay.
You know, I grew up in the dance world. Came here and did the show as, you know, Vera, one of the tappers, you know, in the ensemble. Fell in love with the company at the time. And they had a small educational program attached to it. Enrolled my own children into that program. Began by substitute teaching classes when instructors weren't here. Worked my way up through through the program into a full-time faculty member, into the conservatory director, and then to the general manager.
Wow, that's quite a journey.
Yeah.
I can see it in the little beeline map.
It is. It is. But the best way to know a company from the inside. Yeah.
And that's very true. I mean, you grew with this company every step of the way. And I think just as you've grown, the company has too. There's some exciting things happening these days with Pittsburgh Musical Theater. What's cooking?
Well, what's cooking is we just purchased the building that we've been in since 2000.
And that is James Center.
The James Center.
Which we're in right now. We're here in the James Center in the West End.
We are. This is a new redeveloping neighborhood in the city to start with. We've been here since the year 2000. And we have purchased this building. It belongs to us. And we are in a major renovation, our first capital campaign in 24 years, and we're very proud of it. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see things happening, a new roof and the new mortar and eventually the new classrooms, and we're able to provide the space we need for this company.
So but tell me a little bit about the identity of this company within Pittsburgh.
You know, this company, like, we're entering, we're close to our 25th anniversary, so it's
25. And congratulations
25.
On
thank
that.
Thank you. This is a company that was started by founding director Ken Gargaro, mm-hmm. who is still very active here. He's a wonderful, very brilliant artist and director, and his input and his mission still holds very strong today. It's something that I hold close to and we build upon here. We are a company that's unique in its way, that we have a professional company, but we also have this wonderful education program. And they sit side by side, they work well, and they play well together. One does not exist without the other. And any student that you would see, any child in one of our shows, 18 years and younger, come directly out of this school. So we provide the learning environment that gives our children the skills to actually be able to put it onto the main stage.
So the education and the opportunity, in a sense.
Exactly.
Package deal.
Not only do we have, you know, the opportunity for the students to learn and to be in our main stage, but they have we provide them with their own conservatory season. So they have four shows in the conservatory each year that are devoted directly to them. So all of our students have the possibility of 8 productions a year, and every student receives an opportunity to be on the stage.
Who is the ideal student for Pittsburgh Musical Theater?
You know what, that's a good question. The ideal student is really somebody interested in the arts, interested in creativity, the student who wants to find friends, family, because we are very much a family here, communication skills, the parent that's looking for their child to be able to communicate. I want the students here to feel comfortable. When they walk in the door, this feels like their home. This feels like someplace they feel safe. They feel like they can let all of that out. They can use that creativity, have confidence in what they say, learn their time management skills. It's very much a home. It's a very supportive environment.
Am I too old? Because you just sold me.
You're not too old. We have an adult program that started this year.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, and we have adult acting classes, and we also have this amazing group of women. They're called the Tap Cats. And they are women who are 40 years and older, and they have a tap class, and these women are fierce.
The Tap Cats.
The Tap Cats.
You know, I just saw a show with live house cats, trained house cats. Did you hear about this? It was in town.
Yes, I heard about it.
I went to see it, and it was just so bizarre. And here's the funny thing. You know, I had friends up in Massachusetts. I said, gosh, you know, they're cat people. They would love this.
Yeah.
I went to visit them a month later, and lo and behold, the show was performing an hour away in Schenectady, New York. I saw this show twice.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, you can understand why.
Exactly.
To my mind when you say tap cats. Yeah. That's how do they perform around town?
Well, you know, we haven't got that far with them yet. What we do is we have at the end of our semester, we call it a music theater workshop. We take our students from the school to the Byam Theater, and they actually do 20-minute pieces. Like the preteens have 20 minutes, the teens have 20 minutes, and now the Tap Cats have some opportunity, and our Broadway juniors have opportunity to get on the stage. They're using one of our professional stages. It goes free to all of our friends and families. They come in and they get to see what they're doing. So the Tap Cats have premiered at that venue.
Tap on all fours?
Stop. But I would tell you, I mean, and you don't have to be a tapper to be part of the class. We have women that have come in and have never tapped in their life. But when I go past that door, sweat is on the door. You know, the windows are sweating. Those women, I'm telling you,
they are tapping up a storm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't consider myself a very good dancer, you know, but I feel like I would be good at tap.
Uh-huh.
Because I kind of, you know, will be in there in the kitchen or something, I'll hear a song come on, I'll just start like...
The rhythm?
I kind of have, I think I have a knack for it.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
That's probably the only form of dance that I might venture into.
You were Bella. He's somewhat of a...
But you know what I loved about him? He was the only character in my production of Crazy for You that didn't dance.
That didn't dance. I understand.
And in fact, there was one big, big number. I think it might have been the one that the Fodors sing.
Yes.
Stiff upper lip.
Yes, stiff upper lip.
The stage directions specifically said Bella Zangler enters and goes directly to the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, this part was
it's
made
perfect.
For me. It was made for me. Yeah, I get like, what, 1.5 songs?
Yeah.
I don't dance. Oh, it was great.
It's great.
The beard and the wig and things.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
So yeah, if you guys do that again, give me a call.
Yeah, I would love to do that show.
Dust it off.
Okay.
What have been some of your favorite roles that you have played?
You know, I my performance career was limited. I grew up more in the ballet world. So when I went from that to musical theater, I've done, like I said, Crazy for You. I've done Hello, Dolly, 42nd Street. 42nd Street was fun for me. I did it here for Pittsburgh Musical Theater. And my children actually performed in the show with me. They were older at the time, you know.
Wow.
So the three of us got to perform together on the same stage. So for me, I hold that really dear to my heart. It was special.
That is great.
Yeah, it was great.
Did you ever get Mr. on stage?
No. That's funny.
So dance then and ballet. Did you ever get on a stage recently? Do you get into directing?
Yeah, I direct shows here and choreograph shows here. Started out as a choreographer when I first moved into the artistic world here at BMT. I did some good amount of choreography, and then all of a sudden it came time to do Footloose here, and Ken said, why don't you just direct that show? And I thought, all right, I'll give it a shot.
That had to
you
been
know,
fun.
Oh, it was wonderful. And I have to tell you, when I started directing, I thought, okay, I'm not a director. I'm a choreographer, you know. I'm not really a director. And so I felt a little insecure but excited walking in the room. And it was just like a turnaround for me. I was like, wow, I really get to tell the story, mm-hmm. to help these actors to tell the story. And that's what I'm all about. I'm about casting properly and allowing those actors to do their jobs and tell the best story they can do.
No.
And I run that through the conservatory too. That's like my theme this year for the students, is to tell your story. You know, not only the story that we're doing on the stage during productions, but when they're here at the school. Tell your story. Know how to tell it and tell it well. It's worked out.
Now, have a lot of your students had success after going through the program here?
We have a very good successful rate of students that have performed all over the country and on Broadway. And they're wonderful to connect with. And I was in New York just the past couple days and got to connect with some of the students. But it's not just the performing careers. I've really concentrated on them as human beings. Hmm. And they've taken these skills. You know, I have students who are editors of magazines and casting agents in New York City. And, you know, our lawyers and doctors, our students really are able to step ahead and have some confidence in. And, you know, this education, it's so far reaching and so far beyond just being an actor on the stage, you know.
Now, as general manager, do you choose the season?
I have input in the season. Yeah, Ken and I sit down and we think about the season.
What is that process like?
That process, you know, it can be difficult because as you probably know, getting licensing right to some of these shows is very difficult.
And you may think you have it, and then, you know, the very next day
it's gone.
Yep.
So not only do we have to, you know, part of it is fulfilling our mission, family-friendly, affordable theater, using local actors, and we are careful about the family-friendly. We've tested the waters a little bit, reaching out. You know, we did Spring Awakening a couple years ago. Our subscriber base, our audiences really enjoy the more friendly family, you know. So that's where we go. But, you know, trying to get rights to new titles is difficult. You know, if a tour's coming through, we're not going to see that title for quite a while. And Pittsburgh audiences love material that they are familiar with also. You know this. They like to know every word of every song and sing along.
I mean, look,
you know?
The Chief is running as long as Cats
exactly.
did. So, I mean,
exactly.
Pittsburgh knows what it likes.
It knows what, you know.
It's loyal to it. It is.
It is loyal to, and I respect that. It's loyal to it. They know what they like. They're very specific about it. And I do believe that if you can do well in Pittsburgh with a show, you'll do well anywhere.
You know what? That is a very wise statement. This would be a good test city for a lot of things.
Oh, it certainly would.
It's such a melting pot. I mean, it's been called that, you know, for a long, long time. But I mean, especially now with what's happening culturally here. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about this on Berg Vivant, the fact that you're seeing these articles come out by national travel magazines,
right,
that Pittsburgh is
right.
one of the top destinations in the U.S. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. When they say most livable, I think it has to do with you know, cost of living,
right,
and healthcare here, but
as a
destination to come for travel, it's the culture.
Oh,
it's
is.
Everything that's happening
it,
here.
It truly is. And you know, what I find remarkable, you go down into the city, you know, we have a show down there, we go down in the city, there's a baseball game going on across the bridge, there's a hockey game going on behind us, and the city is just booming with people, and we're all doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, it's a remarkable city, and it's booming, and the people are very receptive. And like you said, if you can make that show successful here, you can take that baby wherever you want to take it.
I think
that's
what your students have to know. Kids, if you can make it here, you can
make
it anywhere.
Yeah, you got it. But, you know, it's because my audience is so varied, from not only a point of age, which is great because the younger people are now, you know, coming to theater. It's not just the age, it's diversity, it's their, you know, affordability. And we have a true mix in there, a true mix of people. I love it.
So what's the 2014 season looking like?
2014.
Can we get a hint?
Oh, yeah.
It's
out there, baby. I'm giving it to you. We have Shrek in February, which I'm looking forward to. That's a big show for us.
I didn't even know that was a musical. I guess it's a
musical. It's nicely done. A lot of special effects, and the music is beautiful. The words, you know, touch your heart. It's a wonderful story. We're doing that. Then we go into Les Mis. We're doing that on our main stage.
It's very ambitious.
Yeah, it's a great show, though. You know, what a story to tell. We're doing that in March, and then we have Seussical in May. So
wow.
Seussical the musical.
You're running the gamut there.
I am.
From ogres to French Revolution to Dr. Seuss, my head's going to be spinning. This is
exactly
fantastic.
Exactly. You know, all the way into the poetry and the artwork of Dr. Seuss, which is a wonderful thing.
So do you kind of, you know, balance them out, try to have a good variety when you're choosing a season?
I do. I try to look at the audience as a whole. Are we filling each one of those areas where people, you know, like, I mean, the wonderful stories, the entertainment, the visual aspect of what the audience is looking at, you know, all of those things go into it. And then in our conservatory season, our students have already done this year Miss Saigon, which was ambitious for them. They did a beautiful job
telling heavy material.
Oh, yeah, and telling a story about a war that the students don't really know about. Not one of them, their grandfathers, my age, you know, and they are the ones that fought the Vietnam War. So that was big material for them. They also do a lyrical Christmas carol, and then they have In the Heights for my teenagers. That happens in March. And then Alice in Wonderland for the preteens. And those two productions are at the New Hazlett Theater. So
you guys always have something going on.
We have something going on.
This is a theater factory.
It is, per se.
Now I have to ask, is there a musical, I mean, you've spent a long time in the musical theater. Is there a musical that you just can't stand?
Yes, and everybody that's watching this is gonna laugh before I even say it. There's a musical I can't stand. It's Godspell.
Ah, yeah.
I don't, you know, nothing against it.
And you're right, because you may even produce it, but it's just, you know.
This company has done it quite a few times. Just something about it that don't want to buy that ticket.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And there are folks that love it. For me, it's Rodgers and Hammerstein. Anything Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I don't know what it is. It's
classic, though.
I know, but there's a lot of classic things that I do like. But something, and I'm sure they're lovely people. You know,
I'm sure they are also.
I would enjoy having a drink with them, but. You know, Sound of Music, South Pacific, none of the songs grab me.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're nothing that I am, you know, grooving to in my head or want to listen to over and over again. And a lot of times the storylines are kind of maple syrupy
and
things.
They are.
You know.
They are true, you know, let's all live happily ever after type of a feel. Cinderella, you know, here's the thing about Rodgers and Hammerstein. It sells well. Pittsburgh audiences like them. They love The Sound of Music. They love Cinderella.
Now, what do you think about this live Sound of Music that's going on?
I think it's very interesting. Will I be watching it? Yes.
So it hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened.
So you are going to watch.
I am going to watch.
I think a lot of folks are going to watch out of curiosity.
I mean,
the ratings are going to be through the roof. I can't even fathom what this is going to be like.
I know.
Because it's one thing to remake an iconic classic.
Right.
But then to do it live.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
And sort of take it to a different place. A different level. It's I think it's going to be interesting. That's what I think. I want to see it.
I'm curious because, you know, I just saw Sound of Music.
Uh-huh.
For the first time a couple of months ago.
Okay.
The film. I'd never seen the film or the musical before.
Okay. What did you think?
Exactly what I think of, you know, Oscars and Hammerstein.
Yeah.
You know, it was long. But, you know, I really, films about that era.
Right.
You really bother me.
Yeah.
With the oppression of Nazi Germany and things, and movies about slavery and things too. I get so bothered by watching that. I mean, even when it's in something like, you know, happy like Sound of Music, it really agitates me.
But it has an unhappy through line though, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. But, you know, the nuns were fun, you know.
Yeah.
And what I didn't understand is they, at her wedding, when she marries Mr. Von Trapp, they sing the song again about how impossible she is.
I know. How are we going to solve this problem?
Yeah. Now, like, you want somebody singing that at your wedding?
I know. It's funny.
How about just, you know, the wedding march?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, everybody wants to sing about how goofy she is.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. There's a lot of funny things about it. So what musicals do you love above all? What's your favorite?
My favorite is Crazy for You. That's my favorite musical. I absolutely, I just think it's wonderful. I mean, fun from top to bottom. I actually just saw Big Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Loved that.
Oh, I love the movie. I haven't seen the...
Okay, well, Susan Stroman did a beautiful job on it. It is visually stunning. I'm not a real aggressive lover of projections in theater, but they used projections in that show against, they were movable, you know, there were birds flying and all of this on the set. It was visually stunning, a very good show. I saw Motown recently, enjoyed that, love Jersey Boys, you know, love those kind of things. But I'm a sucker for entertainment, I really am. I go to a show, I'm not there to criticize it, to pick it apart, to see how it's working. I want to be entertained. I want somebody to tell me the story. And so anything that I go to see, you know, I'll hear people, I didn't like this, I didn't like that. I love it. Somebody's up there telling me a story, you know, and doing the best they can do. It's amazing to me.
What do you think about this Spider-Man business?
Well, you know, while I was in New York, they announced that it's closing. So that was a big deal. And I hear it's going to Vegas. That's what the word is on the street. I think it belongs there, too. I think it is... I'm going to be honest with you, I have not seen it. Have you seen it? Okay. I worry about its safety aspect, of course. I do think that it's in that line of a Cirque show.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
you know, it's got that feel, you know, that carny or circus feel to it. I hate to say that, but yeah, exactly. It is. And I think it belongs in Vegas and it'll do well. Obviously, it could never tour because who could actually fly like that, you know, in a touring aspect? You can't do that. But, I'm surprised it's lasted as long as it has with the amount of trouble they've had. But maybe the word spectacle is why it has.
Yeah.
People wanted to see.
I think so. What's the craziest special effect you guys have pulled off at
TNT? Well, you know, we do our best. We're low budget here, so we do our best at pulling them off. The coolest effects that we do are in our oldest show, which is Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And just the Marley and the... things that we do, Christmas Future, all those little things, the chair that slides across the stage, very simply done, but always the one that we get the most questions on. How did you do that? You know, we recently just did Saigon. I brought a helicopter in.
That's big.
Yeah, it was big, and it was beautiful, and we do a good job at it. I have an amazing team here of people that really care about that and take their time and make it happen.
What shows haven't you done here that you would really, really like to get?
Oh, my gosh. Well, love to have Billy Elliot. You know, it's sort of our story here,
yeah,
that kind
what
of
a,
thing.
What a role for a young man. That
absolutely. There's a lot of shows I'd like to do. You know, I go up there and I talk about it. We have a hard time getting those licenses, you know, as early as some of the other companies. But a lot of the new titles would be amazing for us.
So it's too soon to predict for
too soon.
Next
Too
next
soon. That's
season.
What I was up there doing, trying to make some things happen for 2015.
Yeah. Can we get any hints to that process?
I don't think so. Huh? I wish I could.
I'll pour you another martini.
I wish I could, but I felt good about it. I think that the Pittsburgh market is something that the agents are taking a little more serious and realizing this is a good theater town.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should help them out a little bit.
I think you can see something every weekend somewhere.
Absolutely.
In this city, hands down. There's a lot happening, and it's a good sign.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll look forward to more exciting things from PMT in the future.
Yes.
You guys just keep on going.
We're
going
to keep on going. We got a big story to tell here, and I want people to keep their eye on this company and on this education program, because we are here and we are home, as we say, now that we own this building. We are home and we are here to stay.
So. Very good. Thank you. That was a good
note to
close on.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.